I never hit the record button.
Oh, no, you didn't. Yes, you did. Because it went great. Green is, okay. We still on now.
Okay. Jay, edit that.
Greetings, gentle people. We are here. We are live and we are in living color. Let's jump into this week's conversation. Disclaimer, this podcast is not just for gentlemen, but gentlewomen as well. Now that that's out of our way, welcome to A Gentleman's Conversation.
Ladies and gentlemen, listening to another session of A Gentleman's Conversation. To our gentlemen and gentle ladies, this is T-Honey, the only, aka half man, half amazing, Miss Kathy's baby boy. And to my right
is your big homie, the one and only. Coming to you with the sultry sounds of understanding and the realities that will expand your consciousness.
We're going to get into the senses. I'm going to do the seeing part of it. And what we need to understand, when we deal with the senses, we want to deal with every aspect, because every aspect of a sense has separate consciousness. And I feel like seeing doesn't only deal with what you see when you actually see it, but it also deals with what you see when you're reading it or watching it as well. And so I've been reading a book called The Power of Discipline, How to Use Your Self-Control and Mental Toughness to Achieve Your Goals. This book is by Daniel Walker. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but it is what it is. It's a wonderful book that guides you into. And this book came out in the 2020s. So this gentleman, Daniel Walker, has a incredible way of expressing the need and the understanding of the power of discipline in today's time. And he breaks it down in several chapters. So if you are looking for a book, and I like to read books that relate to self-help. Mm-hmm. And this book right here, mm-hmm. The Power of Discipline by Daniel Walker, is definitely one of those books that put me in the zone. So check it out. Read it. You can get it from Amazon. And if not, you can go into your local bookstore, what have you. I got it from Amazon. I'll be honest with you, I don't remember what I paid for it. But check it out. The Power of Discipline.
And you know,
Daniel Walter.
You know that it is an aspect of every day. Without discipline, one cannot do what you require of yourself to get done.
Right on. What you got, big homie?
Oh, man. So, you know, I'm into that jazz thing, right?
You
know,
oh, right? So this is what you're hearing.
Oh, boy. I mean, okay. with ears wide open. A cat by the name of Chris Standring. I know it's kind of...
Spell that.
It is Standring.
Okay.
Chris Standring.
Okay, gotcha.
He's from Britain. He is a guitarist. He plays guitar. My groove that really got me turned on to him was a song called Liquid Soul. It's extraordinary. It is very good to listen to. It really expands a lot if you get into it and listen. I think you will actually enjoy it. And there are others, but he is one that I have really would like to highlight on as far as getting your groove into the smooth jazz genre.
Copy that.
Yes. So, talk to me, man. What's been going on with you?
Well, I got one more in the senses. I'm gonna go with tasting.
Uh-huh.
The Knob Creek. If you're not familiar with Knob Creek, it's KNOBCREEK, and they have a commercial that states.
Say it like you mean it.
If you try our brand and you don't like it,
send it back to us and we'll drink it for you. Oh, I mean, straight up.
And this is a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. And this is their particular blend that's called the Smoked Maple.
Oh my goodness.
And if you're familiar with Knob Creek, then you know that you have the, what is this? They have the
straight bourbon.
Right.
100 proof.
Right.
Then they have the single barrel, which is 120 proof.
Right. And then they have the rye.
Right. Which is award-winning rye, if you're into these particular tastes when it comes to your whiskey selection. They are very good. They're not for the timid.
Amen.
This is grown folks understanding. Yes. Here. The taste that they impart and the time in which they go about crafting this particular bourbon is superb.
Yes, the Knob Creek Smoked Maple. It is a this particular blend, and Big Homie has educated me and exposed me to all, I'm not gonna say all, but three different, all the ones that he just stated I've had. And you know what we have to understand is that, you know, everybody is not on the same level, so should you be secure and comfortable with your enjoyment of bourbons or whiskey, we're recommending this, and we're not by no means getting paid by any of these people.
No,
but
no.
We're just telling you
what we like.
Copy that.
You know what we get down on.
And so this is what we're enjoying.
Yes.
And because me, I'm a gentleman, and I'm grown.
Yeah, and I also, being a gentleman and very grown,
we want to recommend that you try Knob Creek.
Yes.
Smoked Maple. And I'm not going to front. I'm reading from the bottle. This is 90 proof, and this is a 45% alcohol per volume. This right here particular blend is just amazing. It's a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey with natural flavors. These folks have gone in, done whatever they do is crafted for superior taste and smoothness. And I will have to tell you, this is a small batch. And if you know your differences and you know your understanding, I'm not going to get into the education of this. That's a different podcast. But your small batch, your single barrel,
is when they take from a single barrel whiskey that they have matured, and they distribute it. This single barrel is not blended with others, so it has a superior taste, superior quality, and it comes across the palate as being superb.
And so what you need to do is just try this. Now, honestly, we don't play with this thing. We don't deal with small amounts.
Man.
We don't deal with pints.
No.
On a regular. We usually go for the larger amounts.
Absolutely.
And understand that your cost changes.
Yes.
When you get a single barrel, when you get a small batch, when you get a straight, you need to understand that, you know, your cost changes. But this right here, this Knob Creek smoked maple is very
good.
It's
a delight, man.
And I know you hear people say, oh, it's so smooth. Oh, I don't get an aftertaste or anything like that. Now, what you got to understand is that with bourbon and whiskeys, it kicks you at the end, depending upon what brand it is. But this one right here, when you say smoked maple, you think of maple syrup. And there is a sweetness to it. But at the same time, you get that grown kick.
Oh, it's going to kick.
And it's one that can definitely sneak up on you if you're not careful.
Absolutely.
So, but we are enjoying this. Yes, in my opinion, it is smooth. There's a level of sweetness that is,
absolutely great with this particular brand.
Yes. When you deal with older cats, they'll drink a particular bourbon or whiskey, or they'll try a particular blend, and they will say, oh, that's what them chicks gonna like.
Yes.
You know, but this one right here it's a level of sweetness that's not too heavy, that's not too
it's not too sweet, but it does give you a sense that you are drinking bourbon.
Yes.
And that it is, for those who do drink bourbon, an appreciation that we feel you would enjoy.
Copy that. So try these things out. Rewind. Check out the Jazz name that Big Homie just dropped.
Right, Chris.
Check
Spandry.
Out. The, copy that. Check out the book, The Power of Discipline, by Daniel Walter.
Yes.
And with that, we'll be right back. And we're back.
Hey. So, talk to me, man. Give me something, man. Work with me, you know.
You know, man. Why I've been this week. I've been in a mode of reflection. You know, come January, I reach a milestone.
Big yes.
Old. I turn 50.
50.
Yeah, man. So,
yeah, buddy.
And so with that,
half a century, man.
Yeah, man, half a century.
Half a century.
And I begin to think about how I've lived half of my life.
Absolutely.
Because I did some research, and the lifespan expectancy for a black male in the millennium is longer, but it's not to 100.
No.
It is between 60 and 70.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the more I begin to think about that, realistically, I have to think, okay, so if I was done in my 60s, what is my legacy? If I was done in my 70s, what is my legacy? And so I begin to think about my past. It's reflection, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so,
I mean, we all do.
Copy that. And so I begin to ask myself about everything that I begin to think about what I've done, been through, you know, my life experiences. I was, if we work backwards, I've started a business with a friend. Backwards from that, I was at a automotive manufacturing plant for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not only I worked on the line, and then I was a robot installer. Backwards from that, I was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I, you know, that's pretty much me up until 50.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we think about all the in between, the drama and the tragedy,
you're right.
I Absolutely. Think about that. And this is what came to me. You know, we deal with a lot of, I'm not going to say we, but people deal with pain in their life on whatever level it is. Drama in their life on whatever level it is. But I can only speak for myself. I have challenged the connections and the relationships of family and friends through my choices, and those choices weren't always the best. Those choices weren't always good. And so what in life, how do you come back from pain, but not pain that you were dealt from an outside entity, but how do you come back from pain that you dealt yourself?
Self-inflicted.
You're responsible for it. Pain that you caused to others.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And that was a large part of my reflection.
The realization of one's life in reverse, because hindsight is always 20/20. You know,
dig that.
You can always see how you should have done after you've done it. And that's the perspective on how you move forward. You know, to reflect is to understand the imperfections of the decisions you made and the situations they caused you and others, you know, good or bad, you know. And most of the time, if you think about it, most of the time, we really think about all of the things we did wrong. We never, ever hardly think about all the things that we did right. See, we spend more time concentrating on what we should have done that may have brought about a different understanding, because we felt that we done things wrong, and we never look at them in the perspective of a learning curve. You know, in learning, when you are learning, you don't always get it right. The key is understanding when you didn't get it right, how to make it right for you. And I would say that, you know, when you apologize to others, make sure you apologize to yourself.
And I think that was one of my biggest challenges, because when I realized that I back in January, February, I would say March, a very life impacting event happened, and it caused some very difficult challenges in relationship as it relates to my brother, my daughters, my sister, and it was a family it was a family blow up, and it made me think about where I was, who I was, and how I could be better. And one thing I will always say is that after going through everything that I went through, is that, you know, when you have gone, never underestimate your past trauma, because if you don't deal with it, or if you don't have the people around you that help you deal with it, and even though, you know, if you don't say anything, that could manifest later on in your life.
Oh, yeah.
And cause you some serious
unresolved issues.
Consequences.
Unresolved issues. I mean, you know, when you say that, I am in my 50s.
Copy that.
And the reflections of where you are, where you thought you would be, and the reality of now. See, because even though you may not be where you want it to be, or you made decisions that were not the best, you're still here. And being here gives you an opportunity to continue moving. I mean, a lot of times, if you think about it, honestly, people get stuck. I mean, a merry-go-round goes around and around and around. And unless you get off of it, you will stay going around. So you ask yourself, when you've seen it so many times, this loop, and you say, okay, I am going to do things differently than what I've done. Now, how do I modify myself and atone for the mistakes that were made? You know, we say, as a lot of people do, you ask for forgiveness, you apologize to, and you hope that your apology from a place of sincerity, you know, you're very sincere about what you're doing. You hope this comes across as you recognizing that you were wrong, and you want the individual to whom you are apologizing to accept this fact that you know you were wrong, they know you were wrong, and you are apologizing.
So what do you do? How, where is the mindset when you apologized, but that apology isn't necessarily accepted from the second party?
Well, you've done what you're supposed to do. If you ask for forgiveness and they choose not to forgive, you can't make a person forgive you.
Right.
You can't make a person accept, understand, or any of these things. But you also cannot be held a prisoner of it, because a person can keep you locked because they choose to be locked. And if they choose to be locked and keep you locked, then you never grow and you never get a chance to move on or beyond the moments. An anchor.
Wow.
I will give you an analogy. An anchor is designed to keep you in place so that you don't move. How many anchors do you need to pull up so that you can keep moving forward, or do you keep them in place and remain stuck? I mean, look, I ain't perfect. Never have been. Made mistakes, done some things that I wish I could undo, but I cannot. So when I make amends to the faults that lie within me, and I muster up the courage, because people gotta understand, if I come to you and say, look, I was wrong. I know I was wrong. And I'm asking you to forgive me of the wrong that I done to you. And they say, no, I'm not going to do it. You can't remain, because you've done what is required. You can't remain stuck with them in the fact that you were wrong. You cannot remain, you can't hold me hostage if I come to, now if I don't say nothing to you, I can get that. But if I come to you with sincerity and I apologize with an explanation, I tell you about the situation, explain it to you in detail so that, you know, you're not in the dark, because you know, I know, and I ask you for your forgiveness concerning this matter, and you decide that you don't want to forgive me, then I'm not going to remain hostage to that. I'm not going to be a prisoner to that understanding. I'm not, because I've done what is required of me. All I can do is ask you to forgive me. If you choose not to, then I've done what is required of me. I cannot remain here with you in the hurt that I have caused you because you refuse to accept me acknowledging the fact that I hurt you and that I'm asking you to forgive me for the hurt that I've caused you so we can move on. It may not be together. We may not move on together, but we get to move on. And if you say, no, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to stay there. I am not going to remain a hostage to the feelings that caused the problem between us when I have come to you and asked you for your forgiveness.
And I think that's very important, because that's in this week, so much has happened. Actually, it's been a process over the last 2 months for me, because I really, but today it just really, really hit hard as far as me just reflecting. You know, I accept that when I was married, the actions that led up to my divorce, I've reconciled with that. And something that I had to deal with and had to accept is that even though I forgave myself, what I had to do is, and that's the easy part.
Yes.
I can forgive, you know, that's, I mean, somebody else may say, you know, no, that's not always easy. And I would even agree with that. But the process of it for me is the easy part. But what I also had to forgive myself, and then just to backtrack a little bit, when I had a rock bottom moment mentally in March, back to what I was saying a little bit. And so I enrolled in counseling.
Okay.
And because I feel like, you know, whenever I wanted to learn something, I needed to go to somebody who was smarter than me. Uh-huh. Whenever I had a question about something that I had already learned, I had to go to somebody that was smarter than me. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't I go to someone that's more educated and smarter than me from a mental standpoint, so that I can figure out the mental aspect of my process? And so I went into counseling, and something that I learned was that, you know, the forgiving yourself, once you've done that, okay, great, that's awesome. But what you also have to do is not only forgive yourself for your actions, but you have to forgive yourself for the effects.
Absolutely.
And that's where I wasn't. And now I'm there now. And, you know, after this week reflecting on that, I had to forgive myself for the effects of it.
That's
because it affected a lot of people, because I compromised a lot of relationships.
Yes, yes.
And I had to accept that.
Yes.
I had to also accept that my choices that I made was a direct result of my divorce. My choices that I made, though, and by no means, and I say this to anyone, whether it be a male or a woman, you got a good man, good woman, you make mistakes, you cheat, you go have a, you know, a baby, out of wedlock, you know, they find out, bust you that you in a relationship, whatever the case may be, but then you later find out that your wife or your husband, your girlfriend or your boyfriend, whatever, your significant other, has also had some extra affairs as well.
Right.
Now, you can be mad all you want to.
Yeah.
But something you said, I mean, when I later podcast, our podcast before, you said you can't make a hoe a housewife.
No.
But you don't want to make a housewife a hoe.
No, you do.
And
not.
I'm not by no means calling any housewife that went out and involved themselves
absolutely
a hoe. But what I'm saying is, what the male has to, or the female has to, is take responsibility that your choices, your effed up choices, influenced that motivation. And so once you accept that, and doesn't make it right, I'm not making any excuses for anybody, because you could have been strong enough, because I know plenty of relationships that I've talked to, plenty of males and females where, yeah, my wife is doing this or my husband is doing this, but they stay true. They were strong enough and mature enough, even though they had coworkers, friends, whoever coming at them. And one thing I've learned is that women will justify, and this is just my opinion, girl, you know what? He done this. Okay, so you went out and creeped, whatever. You know what? You know, hey, he did it. And, you know, he did it several times. You just did it once. But the truth of the matter is, not to speak on who was right, who was more wrong, or whatever the case may be.
Well, two wrongs never made a right.
Right. I have to accept that my choices that I made
created
the atmosphere
for the other involvement to
exactly
occur.
Exactly.
And that realization right there, that moment, that defining moment of saying, okay, all right, so I did some things you did not like. As a result of what I done, you did some things you know I would not like. But it was a direct result of what I done.
Exactly.
Now, it doesn't excuse it. It doesn't justify it. That's an issue you had to work out in yourself. See, and a lot of people get to use this as a means. See, your wrong does not justify my wrong. See, it doesn't. Your wrong is your wrong, and my wrong is mine. And my choice to do wrong cannot be connected to your wrong. It cannot be, because if I connect what I do wrong to you based on what you have done, then this says something about my personality. This says something about my individuality. You know what I'm saying? It says something to me. And I know people get really bogged down with this, and they go all left and they go all right when it comes to people doing things that they shouldn't do and the inconsideration of actions that motivate other actions to occur. See, I get that. And I say this. Love. It is something that men and women have differences about, but want the same from each other.
Mm.
A man's love, a woman's love, because, and this is just me, this is my opinion, this is the way I'm looking at it, men do things that women will consider to be unloyal and not loving based on their actions. And they will do things as a result of them feeling the fact that since you love me less and have no respect for me at this moment, then I'm not going to respect the love I have for you and do. Well, that's a hell of a thing to say, because you're now reacting not based on nothing but your understanding of where I am and where you are in conjunction to how you choose to react to it. See, look, wrong is wrong. And a lot of folks will do this. If my wrong justifies me, and your wrong is apologized for, then what happens? See, because if you say, I'm sorry for what I done, how can you be sorry for what you done if it's because of me? Where is your sorry from? Because you're not operating from the same premise. I'm sorry. I messed up. Your mess up is based on what I done.
So, right.
So it's not coming from what you would normally do.
Right.
This is something that you're saying as a result of, I can live with what you did to me because what I did to you. And if you ask me for forgiveness, if you say, okay, I'm sorry for what I did to you. I am truly sorry. I apologize. I was wrong for what I did to you. It was messed up. It was effed up. It was totally uncalled for. The person that you are deserved better. And I'm asking you to forgive me for what I did. Now, can they ask you for forgiveness for what you did too? Because their actions is totally based on what you done. So they're asking you to forgive them twice. Twice. You're asking twice. You're asking me, or should I say, the forgiveness that I'm asking you for my actions, you are now asking me for forgiveness for my actions again. Because you're saying that everything that you did was a direct result of what I done. And I get that. I understand, because we are people who, when we are in love with someone, feels that there is a level of what we call acceptable and unacceptable.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And the unacceptable causes people to do things. Me, this is my second marriage. So I've been married before. And my first marriage, my wife decided that she didn't want to be married anymore. And when she decided she didn't want to be married anymore, she did things that she felt she had a right to do. She never came to me and said, do you forgive me? You know, I was wrong. What I did, what happened between us was wrong. Because we all look for fault, you know. I'm grown. You grown. I can't make you do anything. Anything you decide to do is because you wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't got nothing to do with what I done. Right. It's got everything to do with what you wanted to do. But you get to blame me and my actions as a means of you and your actions. See? And then when I come to you for forgiveness and say, look here, I was wrong. And you say, because it's a choice. You say, well, I choose not to forgive you. Is it more so on your actions that you did as a result of what I done, or my actions, period? Because you can't say that I am not deserving of forgiveness, because that's where people get held into place. You become a prisoner. I'm telling you, dude, a hostage. You become a hostage when you are sincere in the fact that you messed up, and you go to a person and they choose not to forgive you for what you messed up for, because they messed up as a result of you messing up. And they say, to forgive you for what you done, I must also ask you to forgive me for what I done as a result of it. And I'm not finna ask you to forgive me, because you had no business doing it in the first place. So you're a prisoner. You are held by your mistake forever.
And see, what I have seen, well, what do I have done, is made myself a slave to the process of others.
Yes.
And this week, I even in counseling, you get some revelations in counseling, but then you know you're making a progress when you begin to get revelations when you're not there.
Well,
when you're by yourself.
Yes.
And you begin to think and contemplate.
Yes.
And even when you begin to think, wait a minute, what they did was wrong. Too.
Absolutely.
But at that point, that's when...
Do you get to blame yourself twice?
Exactly. And so that's when I had to release that as well.
Well, that's the whole thing about it. That's what forgiveness does. It releases you from the atrocity that has occurred towards an individual that you love.
Yeah. And that word right there, love.
Yes,
is a powerful thing, man. Because even after it's over, mm-hmm. even after it's over,
yes,
there's still levels to this thing as you begin to dig.
Always.
And begin to empty out.
Because hurt affects people differently.
Exactly.
And the way in which a person responds to that hurt, you know. So let me get this straight. Watch this. Let me get this straight. You want me to forgive you for what you done, but I'm not going to ask you to forgive me for what I done, because if you hadn't have did it, then I wouldn't have done it.
Exactly. And that's a difficult place, because you think about that. And because one thing I realized is that my former wife came to me and when she said, you know what, I want a divorce. And I was like, you know what, fine, fuck it. Fine, I do too. Let's just be done with it. Well, some weeks went by and I came to her and said, look, if we're going to do this thing, let's bring in a third party. And if they say, you know what, y'all are hopeless, yeah, you definitely need to get this, just resolve this thing. But if they can convince us and to work this thing out, then, you know, let's do it. Because I never was able to fix any problem I've ever had without the proper tools, the proper understanding.
That's what men do.
And see, so we went to counseling.
Right.
And she unloaded on me.
Yes.
And she unloaded on her. I love the way that the counselor did that.
Yes.
And I gave up everything.
Yes.
I let her know. But then after divorce and everything was later over with, I found out that there was some untruths that took place on her side.
Uh-huh.
But then after I did the math and started to think about it, I was like, wait a minute. That bullshit took place. You never said nothing about that during counseling. What? And that was hard for me.
I know it was.
But what I had to do was release that, man.
Well, see, because you keep going back to the one root cause of the whole entity. See, blame starts with you.
Right. Right. Rightfully so.
So therefore, all things that transpire after that point is a direct result of your blame.
Right.
Now, do I get to keep punishing you for the mistakes? Do I get to keep holding you accountable when you have asked me? Understand what I'm saying. You have asked me for forgiveness. Not so that we can work it out. No, because we're past that point. We ain't going to work it out. You're asking me for forgiveness because you do not want this to fester as being a point or a defining moment to where your life is destined based on the mistake I made on how you choose to live from this point forward. Mm. See, you're asking, look, okay, clean slate this situation through the forgiveness of what I did, because I was wrong. I admit it. I know why, I know what, and release me and release yourself so that your life is not based on this mistake.
Yeah.
And your relationships moving forward is not a direct linkage to what has happened. Because if you don't do that, then you look for stuff in other people based on what happened to you that you didn't like.
Right. I would definitely go ahead.
And that right there keeps you in what I call the perpetual loop of dismay.
Yeah, and that's when I, with that understanding, and so many, It's literally a architect in your mind.
Yes.
Trying to build a new building.
Yes.
Because this old one's got so many issues.
Yes.
You've got to tear it down.
You got to tear it down.
You got to tear it down. And and this new one, it doesn't have the same tenants. It don't have the same, you know, the same managers.
No.
It don't have the same plumbing. It don't have the same roofing.
No.
It's a completely different version.
Yes.
Of what your past was.
Yes.
And what I was, what I realized, I went to service this Sunday, and it's so ironic. The pastor was speaking on the levels of love, and something she said, and I can't quote her verbatim, but she was speaking on how love is intelligent. Love will tell you how to love somebody where they are, and it will say, love will tell you, you know what, this person is busy all week. Let me cook them something. And then call them and tell them, hey, I just made this casserole. I'm going to drop this off to you because I know you've been busy. But I took that and transcended it into where I was, where I had been in my level of reflection right. This week. And said, not only that, but love would also tell you, look, dude, let that junk go. Well, back see, it up.
See, that's
pull back. Leave all that alone. And forget it, drop it, let it go, whether it be your daughters hadn't talked to you in a while, you know, you haven't talked to your cousin in a while, you haven't, you know, you leave all that alone and live your life. And should they come to you or should they reach out, you respond in love. You know, you be where you need to be because you love them. And not because you feel like it's a necessity because you related to them. That's a difference.
Man. Oh, it's a big difference. Because, see, now you're going into bitterness.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I definitely do not want
to
be.
See, bitter makes you respond to situations totally different.
Yeah.
See, and what is amazing, what we do. Because there is no clear definition of the depths of love without looking at where love originated from. And we all want this unconditional love. But as humans, love comes with conditions.
Yeah,
these
man.
Conditions are, you will respect who I am. You will understand who I am. See, that's why when you look at it, the vow that you make in sickness and in health,
man, you gonna get
for better or for worse. And people look at these understandings and they start separating, because how much worse do I have to accept? How much?
It has limits. It has limits, really. You can say that was for better, for worse in the 40s and 50s.
In sickness
different.
And oh, ain't no
that,
doubt.
That's difference for better, for worse in the, you know, 90s and 2000s.
Okay, so that cloth. And what men have to understand is women are not all cut from that cloth.
Right.
You cannot see your mama and what she may have accepted, your grandmother, and what she may have dealt with, in the woman that you are with now.
Right. Because you that mentality then.
No.
They would have dealt with drug addiction.
They
would have
dealt with
alcoholism.
More, they would have dealt with more.
Creeping around, multiple
all
kids.
All of that.
The whole nine. They would, because I love them.
Yes.
I'm going to stay right here.
Yes.
I'm going to deal with
it. I'm going to love you into a better version.
Of you.
Of you.
Right. But that don't. Yeah, no. That's not.
No, no, no.
Yeah,
because not, when you flip it. Because, see, and this is where men get very confused at. If you flip it and ask yourself to deal with the fact that your wife, girlfriend, got pregnant by somebody.
And let's say several times.
And they have a child
mm-hmm.
with somebody else. The perspective of you dealing with her in these circumstances and you adjusting to her in this situation, and you saying, oh, hell no. Wait a minute. Hold up. Because I'm going to tell you something that is the what is profound. Men and women look at love and sex and relationships differently.
Right.
That difference is this. Women love with their heart, their being, and their soul. And anytime you betray any of that, they pull these things back and they give them to someone else. And in giving it to someone else, they literally give it to someone else. Men are not that way. Women and men get more problems in the fact that I heard something. Watch this. I heard something. I heard a lady say, if a guy has another woman that he is seeing, but it has not taken anything away from you and your way of living, your understanding of having, it has not caused you any problems at all, then do you consider him to be no good? Because the monogamous reality of what we want, that forever only us, forever only me, only you.
Right.
Because when I say I do, then you are every woman that I ever wanted to be with is in you. So I don't have to want no other woman, because I'm getting every woman in you. See, women can say the same thing about men. I'm getting every man that I want in you, every man. And then our perspective on what this man is and how this man should be, see, and you go back and you look. My parents got divorced after 23 years of marriage. They were married for 23 years and decided that they could not work out their differences, that they could not come to an agreement, that their course in their lives was only set for them not to be together anymore because they couldn't work it out.
Right.
See, and we say, well, dang, you know, golly, that's a lot of time to spend with somebody. And then you go to women staying in marriages that are not good, men staying in marriages that are not good. When is enough? Enough. When do you say, it's me? Those are issues that we try to work out. See, and we don't intentionally get with someone to deceive or hurt them. That is not, I didn't marry you to cause you pain.
Right.
I didn't get with you because I wanted to hurt you. Right. And so you go to, like you said, this other party and you put it all out there. This is me. And they put it all out there. This is me. And then they ask this third party, okay, so what's the problem? What are we not doing that will help us be the type people we could be for each other? And I remember this like it was yesterday. You can't make a person love you to the depths of how you feel you should be loved. You cannot force them to do this.
Right.
And if you aren't getting what you consider to be the kind of love you want, then you're going to have to move on. And as men, when we come to the conclusion of saying, okay, I messed up. I know why you don't want to be with me no more. I know that what I have done has pushed you to the point to where you cannot tolerate me being with you.
Right.
I get this. But what I am doing is this. I'm asking you to forgive me for the flaws that are in me. and the person that I was not able to be to you. And if they cannot do this, hear me. If they say no, then you got to move on. You have done what you were supposed to do. Love is not an absolute when it comes to us humans, because irreconcilable was only a word designed for people who choose not to work it out.
And I think that that's one of the, I know for a fact that it definitely was not irreconcilable differences. It was the choices that I made.
But
and all of her, all because she was gracious. She gave a lot of grace. I have to say that.
See, and that's the thing though. Like you say, you know, and I'll ask this. She was a good woman.
Yes.
Still is a good woman.
Yes.
And you don't hold no ill feelings towards her.
No.
As a person.
No. No.
And you recognize that your inability to be what she needed at the time she needed was the result of y'all not being together now.
Right.
But you said to her, I'm asking you to forgive me for my inability. Because that's a hell of a lot, Doc. You think about it. See, we get married and we use at the end of all of what we say, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. And here's the kicker. Till we die.
Right.
See.
Right.
Till we are no longer here. Now, and then you say, how much can I forgive? How much can I forget? Because I tell people this.
And that's it.
I tell people this. If you can't forget it, then you can't forgive.
Yeah. And I know that was my actions and my choices took her to that limit. But I think a lot of what took place is that a lot of times when you deal with relationship issues and you deal with outside influences and, yes. and actions and,
yes.
and choices that, yes. that just messed everything up.
Yes.
You have to deal with the weight yes. of the past
yes.
affecting the present.
Absolutely.
And when that began to happen,
it's that's a deterioration. A
huge weight, right.
It's a deterioration.
And enough is enough for some people.
It is.
And they can't handle that.
It is.
And so for me this week, what it was is the realization of understanding that and it matches up with the time frame as you get older.
Yes.
You think about,
of course,
what you've done.
Yes.
And how it's affect your present.
Yes.
And how will you move forward from yes. that? And what I did not want to do is I didn't want anything from my past.
Absolutely.
Especially and not necessarily physical, but mentally.
Yes.
To affect me moving forward. Because as I think about it, you know, I'm like, that's half of my life. Yes. So, you know, how much more am I going to carry? How much more am I going to beat myself up? How much more am I going to try to process and reprocess and triple process? So I made that decision that, okay, so now I have to release all that,
yes.
let all that go. Deal with, okay, whether you like it or not, you have to accept the fact that you was with this chick for 22 years.
Absolutely.
And if she's sitting somewhere by herself with a glass of wine or whatnot, she's thinking, 22 years of my life, and all I got to show for it is two kids.
Yes.
And then it's done. And because smart women, yes. intelligent women, you know, they invest.
Yes.
They're not just there.
Absolutely.
They invest. And so when you think of that amount of time, just think about it, man. If you're on a job for 22 years.
Right.
And they come and tell you, we're eliminating your department, so we're going to let you go. You pissed.
Ain't no question.
You know, you like, okay, so y'all going to give me some benefits, some retirement plan? I mean, what do I get? And they come with a whole bunch of mumble jumble, and all you do is get left with a very small pension,
a constellation to the effort that you put into it.
That sucks, man.
It does.
And so with that understanding, I had to accept that there is a huge part of her that is disappointed.
Yes.
And then when dealing with that, sucking that up and accepting that and acknowledging that, I will not tell anyone that I'm completely healed, if you will.
No.
But what I will say is that I'm better and more aware. And I'll tell anybody that I can never, ever love, if I was to ever get married again, I can never, ever love the next woman like I loved her.
Well, you shouldn't.
But I can love her better.
Well,
because she will know that she's enough.
Well, see, and you got to understand what that means, too, when you say that. When you say, because when you evaluate the terms enough, and you go back and you look through the course, and you say, was it everything I needed every day I needed it? Was it there? Was everything I wanted available to me the entire time I was there? Because I spent 22 years too. So, and what I found out is when it comes to women, there is no acceptable excuse to do anything outside of your marriage with anybody involving anything for any reason. They just don't see it that way. And what I know is a deterioration is both parts. Because I say this in looking at my first one, it didn't last that many years. But in it, the deterioration was apparent and the downfall was there. And you have to adjust your life to an understanding, and you have to evaluate, and you say to yourself, okay, so are you incapable of loving someone else? Will you always second guess your actions, who you are, and what you are about when it comes to the involvement of being with anyone else? Will you say, I will allow things to occur because I was this particular person with this person, so I'm going to accept more, I'm going to be a different. And me, personally, if you're going to resolve that issue totally, letting go means that the slate of what happened must stay in its perspective. That is the past. You can never go forward looking back, because you'll always find yourself running into things you don't need to be a part of. And what I see in a lot of instances is that people challenge themselves to how they choose to be when it comes to relationships in the future. Like, I pose this question to you. You think you'll ever get married again?
Right now, if I was to answer that?
I said ever again. I mean,
no.
And
honestly, no. But I can't predict the future. But right now, in this mindset, no.
Because I was there when I went through my first one. After she was gone for about a week, 2 weeks, hadn't seen or heard anything, nothing. And it came to a head, and we got a divorce, and we were no longer together. And I missed being there. I missed the us, but I couldn't hold on to what was trying to move forward because I was stuck. I threw down an anchor that kept me into what could I have done? What should I have done? Was there a possibility that I could have worked it out? Is there something that maybe I didn't do? And see, I realized something, man, that was liberating for me. You can wind up constantly in a perpetual state of regret.
And that's that understanding.
See, right? you can and then base your life.
Because I feel like a bitter woman is definitely a difficult woman. But a bitter man is worse.
Because you ain't gonna never see nothing better.
It's worse. It's worse. And all you gonna do is complain and keep saying everything is gonna remind you of why you mad.
Of why you mad. Why you upset, and why you don't need to set down no roots.
Right.
And why you should stay single. Giving, you know what marriage does, man? It is the vulnerability of your emotional state. Once it is in it, that you have to repair the most, because that's the effort that men don't do. You know, women repair themselves, you know, to an extent. They okay, because he fucked up. But is this next guy who does something that reminds me of a situation that this other guy did going to be held accountable, or to the point of saying, oh, hell no, I'm not finna go there. I'm not even finna deal with it. You got one and you're out and you are gone. I ain't even finna see it. Look here, Doc, you done messed up. Well, hold up, babe. Wait a minute. Freeze. You know, wait a minute. Because here is an unresolved issue. An unresolved issue is me holding on to the hurt, taking that hurt with me, and then reflecting that hurt on everybody else that comes into my life. Man, and holding them hostage to the hurt I ain't let go of. Keeping them, and then watching. Look here, Doc. When I met my wife that I'm with now, I had to do something that's hard for men to do. I could not take any of the pain I felt into the relationship I was trying to be. Oh,
no, come on. Yeah, no, you couldn't do that. And that's something that I would never do.
But see, like you said, an unresolved issue can come back on you down the line.
And I'm talking, it's very deep, it gets very, very deep, and that's a totally different podcast. But let's get into our final thoughts.
Yes.
So
we are two men who accept the reality that life isn't perfect, and no matter how much effort you put into trying to have perfect, it doesn't mean perfect is going to be the results of your effort. I like the fact that you brought that book up. That book tells me something that we need more of, and that's discipline. Because discipline, no one teaches you how to be a wife. No one teaches you how to be a husband. You do this stuff on examples. You see people in your lives, people who have had relationships, people who have been involved with one another, and you see how long those things last, and you base it on the longevity of what you could possibly be a part of. And you say, you know, like, I've come to the point where I've passed my parents' involvement with each other. I done passed it. I have been married longer than my parents were married.
Wow.
Okay. But a successful marriage is something that most people don't understand. And you cannot base my longevity as being the basis of a normality that could occur with everyone, because we all different.
Right.
You know, it's a give and take. It's an acceptance, non-acceptance. It is the one thing I've heard that I will never let go of. When you with somebody, if they can't be everything you need them to be, then will you be everything they want you to be?
Okay. So my final thought is this. As it relates to anyone that has been in a years-long relationship.
Years.
Whether it been with a significant other or marriage. At the end of it, what you, and this is me speaking, what you have to do is reconcile, understand, and then change.
Because
if you don't, you take the exact same anchor.
Or them anchors or something else.
Back into your new understanding. And all that does is perpetuate more. All that does is, it's the same old BS, but now it's new bullshit.
A new face.
Because you in a new relationship.
That's it.
And so with that.
With that. We out.
And we're back. This is a segment we like to call Drink and Be Merry. Now, Jay,
no,
picked that.
No. No. No.
See, our technician picked this sound right here. Like every time we say this is a segment we like to call Drink and Be Merry, we're supposed to hit this.
Okay, no, I am not doing that.
Now, we feel like, me personally, I pointed out that it sounds like somebody relieving themselves. But you know what? You be the judge. So, anyway.
Well, since you got that, man, it's a sharp looking bottle.
We want to, and again, we are not
no.
anybody by anyway, compensated, sponsored, or otherwise promoted or promoting any brand. This is a discussion about things that we like.
Yes.
And we suggest you try them. I picked this up in Atlanta, GA. This is called El Padrino.
Padrino.
El Padrino Lime. That's ELPADRINO Lime Tequila Cream. Now, I know that throws you off because you've had plenty of cream liqueurs. One in particular that is famous is the Bailey's Cream, the Irish Cream as well. But this one in particular is this. What intrigued me about this one was it was a tequila cream, and I am a huge fan of tequila. So this is made with silver tequila and cream liqueur. The bottle is beautiful. It's a cream label with a lime green streamline going around it with a leather tie and wraparound neck loop with a cork top, wooden, if you will. But it's a sexy bottle. I'm not even gonna lie. But
what's inside?
But big homie, you tried it.
Yes, I did.
So how you feel about it?
I think that it is something that a lot of those who listen to us would enjoy, and they would find it very good. It's very mixable. So, you know, you can mix this with other things, especially more tequila. And you will find that it is very enjoyable. As my esteemed colleague pointed out. Heard the cork.
That was a top coming up right there.
The bottle is a rust color. And the label is green. And it has a leather binding or little satch around the neck, and it is very good. It's cream with tequila and lime, The taste is very aromatic. You get the citrusy lime taste, and it goes down very well. I would suggest that you pair it with another tequila if you want the flavor to intensify.
As well as the results.
Yes, definitely. And be warned, it is a sleeper.
Yes, this is very good. Anyone that is a fan of tequila, and anyone that is a fan of cream liqueurs, when you try this, you will find yourself maybe continuing to try it and taste it. If you are a tequila fan, you will definitely like this. I prefer Reposado and Mezcal, which is a more smoky. Mezcal is a more smoky tequila, and Reposado is also smoky. I do like Añejo. I do like silver tequilas and Blanco, but this right here, I was so intrigued by it that I had to get it, brought it to Big Homie, had him try it, and he liked it. So that actually kind of sealed the deal for me, because yes, he's actually a bourbon whiskey person.
Yes, I am.
So, but I think that anyone that is a fan of tequila and a fan of cream should definitely try this. So again, this is El Padrino. Padrino. I picked this up in Atlanta, but it's El Padrino Lime Tequila Cream. Wonderful, wonderful. I think it's a wonderful holiday.
Yes, of course it is. Like I said, it will pair well with other tequilas and whatever else you may desire for your night to be. It is very good, very distinctive taste, and I do believe you will enjoy this immensely.
Well, I'm definitely ready to get into this special rum that we got for Jay, the technician. We don't get into that until his birthday.
Yes,
and then we're going to hip you all to that.
15-year-old.
Yes, we're going to hip you to that. It's a $7-$8 bottle. They only make this 2 times a year.
Yes.
And we will hip you all and educate you all to that at a different time.
May your palate always stay wet and your thirst quenched.
Oh my, yes. And with that,
we out.